6. Wren ran down the sands and into the water, shrieking and laughing and splashing. Her long blonde hair turned darker in the water and lay stuck to her skin when she ran back out again. She skipped up to where her mother, Zren, and Amorphia sat on a gaily patterned rug under a lacy parasol. The girl threw herself at her aunt Zren, who grinned and caught her, then let her wriggle free and dash off along the beach, running towards a seabird which had thought to doze off there. It flapped lazily into the air and flew slowly off, pursued by the whooping child. The girl disappeared round the side of the long single-story house which lay in the dunes behind the beach. The decorated edges of its veranda awnings flapped and rippled in the warm breeze coming in off the sea. On the porch the image of Gestra Ishmethit sat, peering intently at the partially built model of a sailing ship sitting on a table. The man himself had his own suite of rooms, off one of the sleeper services warship-stacked general bays, but he had been persuaded by Wren to allow his real-time image to join them most days, and had even started to appear personally for important celebrations. These consisted mostly of Wren's birthdays, which, according to her, occurred on a weekly basis. Zren Tramo looked over at Ajail. "Have you ever thought," she said, "of asking the ship to recreate the old place where you used to live? There's still a version of it in that limited bay, isn't there?" Ajail said, looking at Amorphia. The avatar, which sported a simple black pant skirt and skin which looked like it would never tan, was holding a long blonde hair up to the sunline and peering at it. It realized it was being talked to and looked at Ajail. "What?" it said. Then, "Oh, yes, the bay where Gnarhof Hearn was kept. Yes, the tower's still there. See?" Ajail told Zren. She rolled along the rug out of the parasol's shade, closed her eyes, put her hands under her head, and lay on her belly to even up her tan. "I meant the whole thing," Zren said, stretching out on the rug. "The cliffs and everything. Even the climate, if that's possible," she said, glancing at the avatar, which was still studying the sunlight through one of Wren's blonde hairs. "Perfectly possible," it muttered. "The whole thing," Ajail said, grimacing. "But it's so much nicer like this." She reached out across the sand and pulled a straw sun hat over her head. Zren shrugged. "I just like to see it do stuff like that, I suppose." She looked up at the sunline, making and moving all that rock, creating small oceans. "You have to remember, I don't take all this power for granted the way you do." Ajail folded the sun hat's brim up and squinted at the other woman, who made an awkward gesture. "Sorry, is my primitiveness showing?" Zren Tramo's stored mind state had been woken up to tell her that her name, at least, had been used in the discovered conspiracy. The sleeper service had been uncertain about whether this was really necessary, but it was the sort of thing that extreme politeness dictated. And in the aftermath of the brief war, everybody was being almost exquisitely correct. Besides, it had a hunch that she might find the current civilizational situation interesting enough to be reborn, and it rather liked the idea of instigating such a response. The sleeper service had been right. Zren Tramo had thought the galaxy sounded like a place worth revisiting, and had duly been grown a new body. But then, after the ship had stuck around impatiently, while the various post-debacle inquiries and investigations had been carried out, she asked to go with it, when it had announced it still intended to go on a rambling retreat. Gestra-ish methods. His mind stayed plucked from his dying brain in the evacuated cold of the warship halls in Pittance by the guilt-stricken attitude adjuster, appropriated from that craft just before it destroyed itself by the attacking killing time, and subsequently passed on, until it came to rest in the restocked memory vaults of the sleeper service, had also been woken up and furnished with a new body by that time. Death had neither improved his social skills nor sated his urge for solitude, and he, too, had asked to remain aboard the giant ship. He, Ren, DeJail, and Zrain were its only passengers. "Yes, you're being a hick. Stop it at once," DeJail told Zrain, who shrugged. DeJail glanced round at the dunes, the golden sand, and the bright blue sky. "Anyway, it's a long journey," she said. "Maybe we'll get bored with all this and want it all changed back to the way it was." "Just let me know," Amorphia said. DeJail took another look round. "I'm glad I let you talk me into remaking the old place like this, Amorphia," she said. "Pleased you liked it," the Avatar said, nodding. "Have you decided where we're going yet?" Zrain asked. The Avatar nodded. "I think Leo too," it said. "Not Andromeda," Zrain said. Amorphia shook its head. "I changed my mind." "Damn," Zrain said. "I always wanted to go to Andromeda." "Too crowded," Amorphia said. Zrain looked unconvinced. "We could go there afterwards," the Avatar suggested. "Will we even live to see Leo too?" DeJail asked, opening her eyes and gazing over at the creature. The Avatar looked apologetic. "It will take rather a long time," it admitted. DeJail closed her eyes again. "You could always store us," she said. "Think you could manage that?" Zrain laughed lightly. "Oh, I could give it a try," the Avatar said.